Good morning and welcome to the Facebook group and the website of our church, Wollaston Baptist Church. We're so pleased that you could join with us today. My name's Sarah, I'm the worship team leader and one of the deacons at the church. And welcome on Palm Sunday, a tremendously important day for us to remember, to celebrate and also to meditate on as we go through this week. Such an important day that every single one of the Gospels records an account of what happened on that day. I've been looking at John's Gospel, John chapter 12, verses 12 to 19, and I want to share with you some of the things that the Lord has been showing me as I've been reading those verses, and I'd encourage you to read each of those Gospel accounts yourselves today and to meditate on them. Well, John starts off in verse 12 and he says, "On the next day, the crowd that had gathered for the feast of the Passover in Jerusalem heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem." Most of that crowd would probably have heard that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. They'd have heard of the many other miracles, and they were really anxious and keen to meet Jesus. And so that's the background to the crowd that would meet Jesus as he approached Jerusalem. On that day as well, Jesus deliberately chose to go to Jerusalem. It would be the day that the Passover lamb was chosen from the flock and set apart, ready for sacrifice on the Friday. We know that the Bible says that the Passover lamb had to be without blemish and without defect. That's very significant. We think back to when John the Baptist was baptizing people and he saw the Lord Jesus approaching and he called out, "Behold, look at the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." We know that Paul in 1 Corinthians and in chapter 5 and verse 7 describes the Lord Jesus as our Passover Lamb who was sacrificed for us. The Lord deliberately chose that day to enter into Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus has already told his disciples that they must go up to Jerusalem. And in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 17, the Lord Jesus said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the chiefs of the law. They will condemn him to death and turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." The Lord Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen during the week between Palm Sunday to Good Friday and to Easter Sunday. And he didn't flinch or turn back from him. With tremendous courage and love for you and me, he set himself to go straight to the cross. He knew it was the only way that we could be forgiven for our sins and that we could have a personal relationship with his Father, with God. So the Lord Jesus and his disciples set off from Bethany. It was about 2 miles away from Jerusalem. And as they travelled in, they approached a village called Bethpage. And the Lord Jesus sends 2 disciples ahead with specific instructions. He says to them, "You'll find a colt tied up with its mother. Bring them to me. And if anybody asks you what you're doing, say to them, 'The Lord has need of them and he will return them shortly.'" That phrase, "the Lord has need of them," is a royal phrase. It's the idea that the sovereign has need and he has the sovereign right to demand them. But what kind of king was Jesus? Majestic, yes, but also so gentle, so thoughtful and so kind. He knew that the donkey and the colt would be so important to the owner, to his livelihood, and he assures them in his reply, "Why are you taking them? They will be returned shortly." Reminds us of the song, doesn't it? Meekness and majesty. The Lord Jesus rides to Jerusalem on the colt, who's an unbroken donkey. Tremendous that, isn't it? To think that that donkey, never been ridden before, and the Lord Jesus rode the donkey into Jerusalem. Must have known, mustn't it, that Creator God sat on its back and it calmly rode that road. The Lord Jesus fulfilled a prophecy when he rode into Jerusalem from Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. And Zechariah prophesied in 520 BC. And he said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Isn't that tremendous that hundreds of years before, Zechariah, inspired by God, wrote those words and accurately prophesied the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Most kings would have ridden in on a battle horse with tremendous power and majesty. Onward Jesus rode in on a colt, on a domestic animal used in daily life in peacetime. Reminds us of the words of Isaiah describing the Lord Jesus as the Prince of Peace. The crowds, as the Lord Jesus approached Jerusalem, came out to meet him, and they spread their cloaks on the road. That's what you would do for a conquering king, a victorious king. Cloaks would be spread on the road. They waved palm branches, and again, that was a sign of great joy. In Leviticus, we read that we're to take off those branches and to worship the Lord, wave them with great joy. Rejoice before the Lord your God. And then they began to shout, shouts of praise, based on Psalm 118 and verse 25 and 26. And they shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. John records as well that they shouted, Blessed is the King of Israel. Luke records that they shouted, Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Reminds us of the angels appearing to the shepherds. I wonder if the shepherds were in the crowd and were shouting out those words. And they kept shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. Of course, Hosanna means save us. And they would be thinking, here's our king, come to save us. Maybe from the Roman Empire, from Roman rule. But the Lord Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And he'd come to save us from something far, far greater. In John 15, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, there's no greater love than anyone can have for anybody than that he would lay down his life for his friends. We look forward then, don't we, to the cross, and we can see that the Lord Jesus showed that greater love. And in showing that greater love, he ushered in the kingdom of God, not a political kingdom, not even a religious kingdom, but a kingdom of God, a kingdom of salvation and of love, only possible because the Lord Jesus went to the cross for us. Hosanna. Favours. Peter, one of the disciples, who of course witnessed all of this, wrote in one of his letters, in the first letter, chapter 1 and verse 18 to 21, you know it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers. No, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Through the Lord Jesus you believed in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. So when we sing Hosanna today, save us, Lord, save us, let's remember the Lord Jesus was determined to go to the cross for you and me so that he could save us from our sins, from guilt, from our broken relationship with God. He was going to restore it and make it possible for us to have eternal life forever in the presence of a holy God. So through this week, each day, let's remind ourselves with deep awe and tremendous gratitude. Every single day of next week, the Lord Jesus knew what lay ahead. And because he loved me and he loved you so much, he went straight to the cross to die for us. Peter wrote again in 1 Peter chapter 2, 24, the Lord Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you are healed. Our greatest problem, sin that separates us from God, the Lord Jesus dealt with it on the cross. If you never asked the Lord Jesus to forgive you and never thanked him for dying on the cross for you, why not do it today? The Bible says the Lord Jesus will come back one day and he'll ride in triumph as King of Kings to our world. He'll take all of those who love him and know him as Saviour to be with him forever. If you do know the Lord, that's something wonderful to rejoice in. And may we never, ever forget the tremendous cost the Lord Jesus paid for us to make that possible.